to continue to talk about prayer this morning. We're going to talk about forgive others. We are using the Lord's Prayer to help us in our series entitled The Father Says to Pray. Our challenge, our opportunity is to be challenged to learn to pray every day, not take for granted that God has given us a direct access to Him that anybody can use anytime. You don't have to have an appointment. You don't have to wait in line. You don't have to go to Him at a certain time in a certain way with certain scriptures memorized. So I want to challenge you and encourage you as we go through this to hopefully be encouraged that you can pray. If you already pray, great. Continue to do that, and maybe God will show you some new things in this series from His Word. If you don't pray, I would challenge you to just try it. Just give it a try. You're just talking to God. Just like you would have a conversation with me at the door or somebody else today or somebody you sat next to or somebody you walked in the door and knew already or didn't know, encourage you just to have conversation with God. He's not concerned about how big your words are or how many syllables they are. He's not concerned about anything other than you communicating with Him and talking with Him. So I want to challenge you to do that. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6 if you haven't. We again want to look at these words that Jesus gave us and what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And we often refer to these as the Lord's Prayer, but I want you to listen to these words this morning. Pray then in this way, Jesus said. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We've already learned that we need to start our prayers with adoration towards God. Take time to acknowledge who He is. You're talking to a holy God. You're talking to the creator of the universe, but He loves you and He knows more about you than you know about yourself. So talk to Him as the holy God. Adore Him. Look at what Jesus said to His disciples about that in verse 9. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Recognize and acknowledge who you're talking to. So adore Him. The second part we've learned is about submitting yourself to Him. Look at verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's about us putting Him first in our lives and acknowledging that before Him. If I'm putting Him first, then I want Him to know that and I want Him to see that in me, but I also want to humble myself before Him as I submit myself to Him. It's saying, God, I can come to you about anything. I can come to you about a cross on a steeple that's been bent in a storm. I can come to you about my neighbor and the challenges that they're going through and the relationships in their house. I can come to you about my finances and my business. I can come to you about anything and everything. But God, you do what you see best in that situation, and I will humble myself. I will submit myself to you because you're God and I'm not. So it's about submitting yourself to Him. The third thing we've seen in the Lord's Prayer is about request. Notice verse 11 again. Give us this day our daily bread. Not this week, not this month, not this year. Give us this day. And we looked at what daily bread or manna in the Old Testament looked like. You can't take enough to feed your family for a week or even more than a couple of days. You have to take what is good for today, unless it's the sixth day of the week. Then you can take enough for the sixth day and the seventh day. If you take more than enough because you are afraid you're going to run out, then it would spoil. And God made sure of that. The idea was that you and I be dependent on God every day, all the time, no matter what. So ask Him. You can ask Him about anything and everything. Make your requests made known to Him. Give us this day our daily bread. And then last week we broke verse 12 into two parts, and we did the first part last week. And forgive us our debts. So we want to talk about forgiveness. If you haven't been keeping up with us, you're welcome to go back and listen to the sermons on the website. We're not really going backward. We're staying moving forward because of what we're trying to do with this series. But we learned last week that the word forgive here means to remove guilt from the sin that was committed. Okay? Remove guilt from the sin that was committed. You and I, again, we talked about this in depth last week. I can't do anything with my sin. God took care of that on a cross with Jesus Christ. That's what we just celebrated, his faithfulness in communion this morning. That sin can't be, I can't do anything with the sin I committed. That's done, it's over. But the guilt that's associated with that, the moral debt, as some of your versions say, forgive us our debts, the moral debt that comes from sin, God says you can ask for forgiveness. Jesus is instructing his disciples to ask for that forgiveness. Right? Remember, that's a different issue than the sin. The emphasis here is on the guilt. I can't undo the sin. It's done. The consequence for the sin, that's going to have to be dealt with. But the word debt here is the idea of a moral debt that's incurred because of sin. It's the guilt that is associated with the sin that you committed. Sin creates a debt that we cannot pay. And we looked at those scriptures last week that all of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages, the cost of my sin and your sin is death or eternal separation from the Father. That's what we deserve for committing one sin. We can't compare ourselves to somebody else. We can only compare ourselves to God. And he's holy, and our sin gets in the way of that. So we looked at what God does with our sin. But this week we're going to look at the second part of this. Look at the middle of verse 12. Let me just do the whole verse again. He says, and forgive us our debts. We talked about that. This week we're focusing on, as we have also forgiven our debtors. Look at that. As we also have forgiven our debtors, Jesus said. So Jesus is telling us, and if we dig deep into this word of have forgiven, the idea is that it's a verb, it's something actionable, it's taking place. It's also something that has already happened and is currently happening and is going to keep on happening. That's the idea of have forgiven here. That's what the word there means, the grammatical makeup of that word. And he says this issue is not about the sin again. It's about forgiving those who have committed sin against us. Because he says we're forgiving who? Our debtors, those who've incurred a moral debt against us, or they've sinned against us in some way. I can't tell you how many people in my life or in ministry have told me, well, this bad thing happened to me, so I'm not ever going to trust God again. Or I'm never going to go to church again because God allowed this bad thing to happen in my life. The forgiveness that God offers us, we don't like to offer that to somebody else. And sometimes we don't like to offer that to the people that are closest to us. But we want them to forgive us, and we certainly want God to forgive us. It's easy to ask God for forgiveness, and sometimes, for some reason, it's hard to forgive other people. Yeah, but they did. Yeah, but you did. Yeah, but they did. No, but you did this, 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 and the other thing. Sometimes it's even hardest to forgive ourselves. Some of you last week did that here at the altar. We had a time of prayer. You came and asked God to remove the guilt associated with your sin. And I asked you to leave it here. Don't take it with you. God doesn't want you to be carrying that because it gets in the way. Why is this such a big deal? Go with me down in Matthew 6 to verses 14 and 15. So Jesus ends the Lord's Prayer, and we'll get to the Amen eventually in our study. But he ends the prayer with Amen, and then the very next thing he does, as he's again teaching his disciples about daily living and what we call the Sermon on the Mount, the very next thing he does is address this issue of forgiveness again. Look at verse 14. Jesus continues and he says, for if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Okay, this is not a salvation issue. Please hear me there. This is not a salvation issue. Sin was dealt with on the cross. We said that last week. We'll say it again this week. We'll say it forever. Sin was dealt with on the cross. Okay, this is not that issue. This is the issue of forgiveness between one another. the hindrance that we get caught up in that Satan loves to take a hold of because I hate my brother or I disagree with somebody who did something against me. And while I might talk to them, I'm never going to forgive them for what they did. That's the idea that we're talking about here. This is not a salvation issue. This is about being right with God and being right with each other. So he says, he uses the word transgression here, and in verse 12 he used the word debt. Those are very similar words, and transgression literally means I'm walking along a path and then I start to lean to one side and I fall off. It's a willful disobedience. It's not, I didn't know. It's a willful disobedience. That's what a transgression is. It's sin. Debt is the same thing. It's sin. Okay? So there are different words in your Bible. They may be the same word in verse 14 and 15 that verse 12 has. It may be a little different, but basically the idea is the same. The issue is it's not about the sin. It's about the guilt that's associated with it. Again, it is not possible for sin to be removed by man. But the guilt, yes. And that's the challenge that some of us live with. Think about it in regards to, some of you may have been involved in this or seen this in your own life or you've heard about it, where someone has a crime committed against them and some harm has come to them. And they choose publicly to forgive that person. Do they have to? Well, the world says no, because they had a punishment or they had some suffering associated with the crime that somebody committed against them or their family or their friends or their business or whatever. So I don't have to forgive them because of what they did. Well, God says you do. Does that also mean then that they don't have to go before the court and deal with the law and deal with the consequences of that? No, that's not what he says here. We're dealing with the guilt removed with the sin. The sin is going to be dealt with by God, yes, and also maybe with the law. That's what we talked about last week, with the consequence when I commit a sin. The consequence is not removed here because you ask for forgiveness. Oh, we would love that. The problem is most of us would just continue in our sin because we'd say, well, God says I can ask for forgiveness. He wipes out the sin, he wipes out my guilt, and he takes away the consequence. He doesn't say that here. Or in the Bible, that your consequence of your sin will be wiped away with as far as dealing with man. If you do something wrong, you commit a crime, you may have to pay the time. He's not removing that because you prayed and asked him to remove it. The consequence is still there. But hear me here, as believers, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the way we live should give evidence of the God that we serve. Remember, all of us like to ask God for forgiveness. God, please forgive me. But it's somehow harder for us to ask for forgiveness from one another. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to see this in a couple other contexts. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to hit it again next week with one particular verse. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians 4, Paul is writing the believers, the church in Ephesus. And in this context, he's been telling them, look, you used to live a certain way, but now that you believe in Jesus Christ, your words, your actions, your beliefs, all of those things should be in line with what God has in store for his people. And one of those things is verse 32, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. God's word says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted. When I was in college, I think I've told this before, but when I was in college, I worked for a time in a family life center of the church that I belonged to. And that, there were people come to that family life center all the time. They came to play basketball and racquetball and lift weights and play games with kids and with one another and have meetings, and it was used all the time. So there were two of us that alternated days or afternoons, and we would come in and people would come use the place. And what we found over and over again was the believers or the people that went to church, their behavior was completely different than those who were in the community coming to use the Family Life Center. And the believers, the church members, was way worse than those who were from the community that didn't go to the church. We saw it even in a basketball league. The city used the gym facility. There were two gyms right beside each other, or two basketball courts in the same gym, and the city used it for a basketball league they had. And one year, the basketball league comes, and they had their disagreements, but they were very respectful. Then the church league came and used the same gym. It was bad. The church league was way worse than the city league. The competitiveness, the arguing, the cussing, all of it. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the way we live should give evidence of our relationship with God. And Paul says here, be kind to one another, be tender-hearted, forgiving each other. Notice there's no conditions there. If he lies against me, then I don't have to forgive him. Not there. What if he killed my brother? Do I have to forgive him then? What if he said something rude to my mother? Do I have to forgive him then? Remember, the sin God deals with. He doesn't anywhere in here say that I as a person have to deal with my sin or somebody else's sin. He dealt with that through his son on the cross. The sin's been dealt with. Now, whether I believe or hold on to that, that's between me and the Father. But we're talking about forgiveness and removal of guilt. Be kind to one another, just forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Man, if I started to make a list of all the things God's already forgiven me of, how does that compare to those that I need to offer forgiveness to? Does that mean I have to be best friends with them? No. He doesn't say that I have to go be their best friend. He just says I need to forgive them. Do I have to go tell them I've forgiven them? He doesn't say that. Not in these verses. There's other places he says if you've got an offense with somebody, before you come and take communion, you need to go get right with that person. If they know you're not right with one another, then deal with that, especially believers. But this is talking about forgiveness horizontally. The vertically takes place because of Jesus and what he did on the cross for us. We can't give the devil an opportunity to get involved. Look with me at Mark chapter 11. Same context, different place. Jesus is teaching his disciples and those who were with him at this moment about faith. Some of you remember the story in Mark chapter 11. Jesus had passed by a fig tree, and the fig tree had no fruit on it, and he cursed it. The next morning, they're walking by the same fig tree, and Peter points out to him that the fig tree has withered just as Jesus cursed it and said that it should wither, and it does. And then Jesus is teaching them about faith. And then join me in Mark 11, verse 25. Jesus said, "And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions."
Wow.
But if you do not forgive, he's talking about you removing the guilt. Remember, you can't do anything with their sin. You can't do anything with your sin. God's the only one who can deal with that. But if you do not forgive, remove the guilt associated with a sin, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. This is not about sin or salvation. This is about being right with the Father and walking in unity with him. We can't be at odds with our brothers and sisters in Christ and be right with the Father. Can't. You can't be right with the Father and be at odds with somebody who's not a believer because of something they have done against you. And if you're using that to say, "God, I'm not going to trust you," then you've got to get that dealt with. Jesus gives his disciples a way in a prayer we call the Lord's Prayer, a way to have that guilt removed by asking the Lord to help you remove that guilt so you don't continue to hold on to it and it dominate your life. This week I was watching TV. I don't even remember what I was watching. Probably just scanning, looking for something to watch. And I caught a commercial. And there was a Freedom From Religion Foundation. Some of you have seen this commercial. It was Ron Reagan, Ronald Reagan's son, that was on there. And he's a professed atheist, and he says it again in there. He has a number on the screen, I think even a website, where you can call in and you can join his group, Freedom From Religion Foundation, because he wants to make sure religion is not a part of our daily life. And he makes that clear. It's just him talking. And at the end, he says, I'm Ron Reagan, a lifelong atheist, and I'm not afraid of burning in hell. That's what he said. That was the end of the commercial. That sent chills up my spine and does again now in this moment. Forgiveness is a real thing that God offers us. But if you harden your heart towards it, towards God, who's given you that forgiveness, hell is a real place. Salvation is an issue that needs to be dealt with by believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And he doesn't say in here that you're going to end up in hell if you don't forgive one another, but you can't be in right relationship with the Father if you are harboring a grudge or unforgiveness or hate towards somebody who has wronged you in some way. That's how big forgiveness is. But Jesus says to his disciples, here's how you deal with it. Ask God to help you with forgiveness. Back in Matthew 6, verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we also have already, will now, and will in the future continue to forgive those who sin against me. God, you deal with the sin, but I'm not going to let that get in the way of my relationship with you. God offers us forgiveness. But if you refuse it, then you have to deal with him on that. His forgiveness is very, very, very real. But you've got to take advantage of it and use it. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that Jesus was, very, very practical with his disciples in prayer. And it wasn't something that he just told them to do. He also did it, and we see that throughout the Gospels. Jesus prayed all the time. Early in the morning, late at night, slip off by himself. He'd be in the wilderness. He'd be up on a mountain. He'd be with a group of people. He prayed all the time. And he was your son. So, Father, help us to be encouraged while challenged to pray. And even if we don't now know how, or we don't think we know how, help us just to start, not to make excuses for not praying. And Father, on this issue of forgiveness, help us with that too. Because we don't want to harbor any unforgiveness towards anyone. Because that, as we've seen clearly this morning, hinders our relationship with you. It's not a salvation issue, but it is a witness issue. And it is a being right with you issue. And so, Father, help us not to harbor any unforgiveness towards somebody else, even though they may have harmed us and caused us to suffer in great ways. Father, we'll let you deal with their sin, but help us to deal with the unforgiveness that you've given us that opportunity to. Father, thank you that you are great and you are awesome and you are a faithful God. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen.